O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we have come together to worship you. Draw near to us through your holy word and assure us of your loving kindness. Curb our wandering thoughts so that with undivided attention we may hear your voice and sing your praise. Open our hearts by your Holy Spirit to the proclamation of your word so that we repent of our sins, trust in Jesus as our Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Welcome to all of you to the worship service today in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior. Also on this Mother's Day, a special blessing of the Lord be yours in rich measure. May the Spirit of our God be poured out upon us today as we worship our Savior on this day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You follow the order of worship as you find it printed on the liturgy insert inside the front cover of the maroon hymnal. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant you grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise, Lord God, Almighty Father, heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. At God's right and in majesty most high, with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. O King of glory and Lord of hosts, uplifted far above all the heavens, we pray, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first lesson is the account of the evangelist Luke of the ascension of Jesus. It's recorded in Acts 1:1-11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard from me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Here ends the first lesson. I invite you now to join me in the responsive reading of the Easter acclamation as you find it printed in your service bulletin. The Lord is risen. God ascends to his throne.
There are shouts of joy and the blasts of trumpets as the Lord goes up.
The Lord is risen indeed.
This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
By this we know that we abide in God and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. See, I am coming soon, says the Lord.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates.
Surely I am coming soon, says the Lord.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And our second lesson is a selection drawn from the book of Ephesians. In this chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about, references Jesus' ascension and his being placed at the right hand of God, which doesn't signify a particular place in heaven next to God, because God is a spirit. He doesn't have a right hand, but it signifies the place of all power and authority by which he uses or which he uses for the benefit and the blessing of his people, the church. We read in Ephesians 1 then, verses 16 to 23. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
I invite you to stand as we now confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, I invite children to come forward for a little children's message in the front here. Do you know, have you heard of a man by the name of Sir Isaac Newton? He was a scientist who lived long ago before any of us were ever born. And one day, as the story goes, he was sitting by an apple tree, and he watched as an apple fell down to the ground. He was a pretty smart man, a scientist. He said, man, how come apples always fall downward when they come off of an apple tree? They don't go sideways, or they don't go up like this. And he's credited the scientist with what's called, fancy term, it's called the theory of universal gravitation, which means simply that objects that are dropped always fall down towards the center of the earth. You ever notice that? You have another object. This is called, can you read that, Nicholas? Called a super ball. And why it's called a super ball, when you go like this, it always goes up. And if you do it really hard, it goes really high up. But one thing you can always count on, it always comes down, just like the apple. Now, of course, God created the world in the beginning, and he put all these laws of nature into motion. And because he's the one who created the world and all the forces like gravity, he can also stop them. And guess what happened 40 days after Jesus arose from the dead? Last Thursday was the celebration of Jesus' ascension. Jesus suspended the laws of gravity as the disciples were gathered on a certain mountain. All of a sudden, they saw Jesus go up into the air physically before their very eyes. And what he did, as we heard in our Bible lesson, he ascended back to heaven to the right hand of God. And one of the Bible verses I wanted to share, is it here? It was before. Anyway, oh, there it is. Very short verse. It's in Ephesians 4, verse 8. It says, when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts to people. He gave gifts to people in the form of like pastors and teachers and missionaries to share the good news of the Jesus with others. And another important gift that we might think about, especially on this day, even though it's not mentioned in that passage, can you guess what gift on this day we might especially be reminded of that the Lord gives to us? What day is today? Mother's Day. Okay, so he gives mothers to us. They are very important and very wonderful gifts. What good things do you benefit from because you have a mother? Can you think of some things? Don't think too hard. Nicholas, name one good thing that you're happy to have a mother. Food. Okay, macaroni and cheese and hot dog and things. Okay. Think of anything else? Don't be bashful. They take you to school. They give you rides to sports events like soccer. Take you to the doctor when you get sick. Things like that. Of course, a very important thing, one of the most important things that the Lord gives us mothers for, and particularly Christian mothers, is so that we might learn about him. And that's one of the things you especially want to be thanking Jesus for, your ascended Lord, that he gives you the gift of a mother who is concerned not only that you have things like food, good things to drink, toys, and electronic, whatever you call those, pads and things, but that they want to be with you and you to be with her in heaven. So we thank the Lord today for our Christian mothers, and we are glad that Jesus, when he ascended up on high, suspended the laws of gravity to go up into the sky in the very presence of his disciples to the right hand of power in heaven. He uses that power now to guide our lives also by giving us the blessing of mothers, fathers too. So, okay, you may return to your seats. Next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration today is written in the book of John, chapter 17. We read there verses 11 through 19. Jesus is speaking. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Here ends our text. Jesus' name, our exalted Savior, dear Christian friends, as mentioned before, last Thursday was a very important date on the Christian church year calendar, the day that falls exactly 40 days after the Lord's resurrection, when Jesus, in full view of his disciples, on a particular mountain of Galilee, went up into heaven to the right hand of God. Also, according to his human nature, he took up full use of his divine powers and prerogatives, which he possessed with the Father and the Holy Spirit from all eternity, having successfully brought to completion the mission that his Father had given him to do for us of reconciling us to our God. Question: what is Jesus doing for you right now? Well, the Bible reveals that as our heavenly prophet, he continues to send out his representatives to proclaim the good news of salvation. People like, as we heard, pastors, teachers, missionaries. He continues to bless his Christians as they carry out the ministry of the keys, that they might work together to arrange for the spread of the saving gospel here in the world. As our heavenly King, he is using his power, God's right hand, to protect us, having conquered the devil and having broken the stranglehold that he had upon us through sin and death. He is using that power to extend his spiritual rule of peace to other hearts through the proclamation of his gospel word, and making sure also in the physical world that all things are orchestrated in such a way that they serve for the eternal blessing of his people, his church. And as our heavenly priest, Jesus is now representing us before his heavenly Father. He's serving as our mediator before the tribunal of supreme justice in heaven. You can think of Jesus on the day of his ascension as entering into the holy place of God's presence with his blood, which is now crying out for you daily for your pardon. And the heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake, lays his anger by and confers upon us on a daily basis the precious gift of his forgiving love. Now, that we might be bolstered in our Christian hope and in the certainty eventually of our own eventual ascension into heaven. I invite you to consider with me a very special facet of Jesus' ongoing service to us as our ascended Lord, and that is his praying for us. Is praying that God's word will protect us from the evil one, and that his word will also then consecrate us for service in his kingdom. Now, the words that I shared here in our text actually take us back before Jesus' ascension, before his resurrection, before his crucifixion. He's with his disciples in the upper room the night before, and it was at this time that he informed them in simple words, plain and clear, "I came forth from the Father and have come into the world, and again I now leave the world and I'm going back to the Father." And then he lifted up his eyes in prayer to his Heavenly Father. He prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you've given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." And now we want to focus on the words of this prayer that come next, which are drawn from our text, where Jesus said, "Holy Father, keep through your name those you've given me. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." Isn't that a glorious truth for you and me to ponder on and thank God for? That on the night before his departure to the cross, Jesus poured out his soul in prayer for his disciples then and us, his disciples today, asking his Father to safeguard our faith, to let nothing overturn it, nothing allow it to cause us to be detoured from the road that leads to our heavenly home. It's a glorious truth and a comforting one because, as we all know, there are so many things that could trip us up in our faith and block the way are continuing on to the road to heaven. The devil is trying mightily, Jesus refers to him here as the evil one, to utilize every tool in his diabolical arsenal to divert us from that heavenly road, to chip away at our faith ever so gradually, and then finally topple it among these dastardly tools in his diabolical arsenal. Are the ungodly philosophies and the unspiritual attitudes, the earth-centered, creature-centered, short-sighted mindset that pervades our society. There's that philosophy of what's called secular humanism, which is woven into the very fabric of our American culture, which believes that there's no supreme being, no creator. The world that we live in evolved. We are all here by accident. Man is not the pinnacle of God's creation, a special creature distinct from the beast fashioned in God's image. He's just the most highly developed animal. And since there's no God, no creator, well, there's no objective moral absolutes or standards for our living, and everyone can just live as they want to, as they deem best, or as the society thinks is best. And there's no heaven or hell. And of course, with the devil at the heart of it all is this: there is no need for a Savior to descend from heaven to redeem you from your sin guilt and then provide you with the gift of his holiness and life eternal through faith in his name. That's the world we live in. That's the culture that we're a part of, we and our children. Think how science and nature programs you watch on TV, how that comes across. About a month ago, I was a visitor at the Denver Science and Museum near downtown Denver. And I said to myself, I wonder how long it's going to take for me to walk in here and read something about evolution. It was the second thing I read on the wall. And just last week, there was a TV ad having to do with dogs, which spoke about how they evolved, poking fun at what the Bible plainly teaches about the origins of our world. Also think about how the entertainment industry produces material for our consumption that entices believers in Jesus to think and to live as they do. To live just for the pleasure you can get out of this life and regard things like Bible teaching, family devotions, the Christian upbringing of the young, the words of eternal life that are shared on a Sunday morning at church, as something that you can just brush off as unimportant. The good news that God loved the world so that he gave us his own Son, that believing him we might live forever. What application, what relevance does that have for my life in the real world? The thought goes, as if this were the real world that we're going to be in forever. That's what we're up against. Jesus knew it. And that is why in his Savior love and loving concern for our eternal welfare, on that night before he died, he prayed for us. And he continues to pray for us as our ascended Lord today. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you've given me. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Just as he prayed for Simon Peter, when Peter boasted, there's no way I'm ever going to deny you, Lord, even if everybody else runs away. I'll die with you. I'm strong enough. Jesus told him, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Jesus offers up the same petition to his Father for each one of us, his children today. And notice too, dear friends, how Jesus in his prayer to the Father that night made reference to the special tool that God uses to keep us strong in our faith when he said, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you've given me. One of the questions that we spend a fair amount of time on with our children in catechism class in connection with our study of the second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. What is God's name? The answer we help our children to know from the Bible is, of course, God's name is every expression that he uses in the Bible to refer to himself, like God, Lord, Jesus, Emmanuel, Savior, Holy Spirit, and so forth. But that God's name also includes everything that he tells us about himself in his word. And so the Bible is God's name. And so when Jesus prayed that night that his Father keep us, protect us from the evil one through his name, he was praying that his Father would use the Bible, his word, to protect us, which points up the importance of our using the Bible, of staying in touch with the Bible all through our days. in this world. More important than work, school, sports, recreation, as important as those things are, and they have a good place in our lives too. The most important thing of all, the one thing needful, is to faithfully utilize the tool by which our Father defends us from the onslaughts of the godless world, the Bible, His holy word. Today, of course, is Mother's Day. A good day to be reminded of the blessing, as we mentioned before, of Christian mothers and the wonderful truth that God works to keep our children safe in His care through mothers who faithfully teach their children the Word of God. We thank God for Christian mothers who train their children up to know Him as their Savior and to inculcate in them also by their godly example a love for God's Word. And you children should think of your mothers as being among God's most precious gifts to you, which He uses for your spiritual welfare. Just like the Lord used Jochebed. You know who Jochebed was? Not a very common name. She was the mother of Moses. During the years that Moses was growing up in Egypt, the childhood training she received from his mother Jochebed was such that all the years of training that he received in Pharaoh's court as a young man couldn't obliterate it. Moses was enabled to stay faithful to the Lord in that idolatrous country and become one of the greatest leaders that God's people have ever known. Eunice and Lois also come to mind. That was the mother and the grandmother of Timothy, who handed down the heritage of faith to their little son and grandson, concerning whom Paul writes in his letter, the second letter to Timothy, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded now also lives in you." Stories like these, like Jochebed, Lois, and Eunice, they serve as a great comfort also to mothers, fathers too, but especially we think of our mothers today, as you train up your little ones for the Lord. So that when the time comes when they have to go out into the wild and woolly world on their own, a world that is full of evil, they will be kept safe by the power of God, by the power of God's name, His word that you have taught them. Passages like, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches," said the Lord. "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Passages like Psalm 119, 103 to 105. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Or Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let's also consider that other comforting truth this morning conveyed to us by Jesus in this text. He, our ascended Lord, prays also that God's word, God's name, may consecrate us for service in His kingdom. In his prayer to his Father that night, he said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you, Father, sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. That word sanctify is a very special one, a very, very meaningful one. What the word sanctify means in its basic sense is to set apart for a holy purpose. So when Jesus prayed, sanctify them by your truth, Father, your word is truth, that they might be sanctified by the truth. He was asking his Heavenly Father to use his word to equip and to empower his disciples then and us today for the special assignment that he gives to us of spreading his gospel good news. His prayer is answered whenever our Heavenly Father causes the light of salvation in Jesus, which he shined upon us, to be reflected through us to other people. When you're led by the Holy Spirit to share the good news of Jesus, why he's so special to you, with the people that you know. When you speak to others about the wonderful things he's done for you in your life, the gift that he's given you of the forgiveness of all of your sins, the assurance that he's orchestrating, God's right hand, position of great power, all power, orchestrating everything in the world and in the universe and in your life individually for your everlasting benefit. His promise that he's accompanying you daily with his strengthening presence. The hope of your own eventual ascension into heaven through faith in his name, to the mansions he's gone to prepare. As you serve him with your time and talents in the congregation, participating in voters' meetings as men, because you know that Jesus' work is being conducted there and you want to support it. When you serve him as a member of the ladies' group, teacher of Sunday school, when you reflect your love for your Savior in your relationships with your family members and friends, loving them as he has loved you, when you sing, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments, my days, let them flow. Ceaseless praise. As you do these things, according to the power, the inspiration that the Holy Spirit provides through God's name, through his word, your Heavenly Father is answering the prayer that Jesus is offering up for you before his Heavenly throne. So, dear friends, praise God. Praise God for your Lord and Savior. Glory be to Jesus, who redeemed you to be his by his blood, and who now, as your ascended Lord, is praying for you daily that his Heavenly Father might use his word to protect you from the evil one and to consecrate you for a life of joyous service in his kingdom until that day arrives when you ascend to be with him. Amen. May the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Take not the whole.
stand for prayer on behalf of our mothers, and then also our regular prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of life that you've granted to us through our mothers. We also thank you for the time and the love they've given us during our lives. Bless mothers everywhere with love, patience, and understanding and strength to carry out their special work. Lead children everywhere to be thankful for their mothers. Keep families everywhere faithful to your word. We pray this for Jesus' sake, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, through all eternity. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you are our strength and song, for you have prepared for us a well of salvation in Christ Jesus, your Son. Through the eternal Spirit, he made himself an offering for the sins of the world. We thank you for your mercy. We give you our praise for the life of grace and truth that he lived among us. Grant us an ever-increasing faith to believe all that he's taught us and to do all that he has directed us to do. Grant, Heavenly Father, that we may ever exalt and praise your Son, whom you raised from the dead and lifted him up above all power, might, and dominion to your right hand in heaven. In his glorious ascension, give us confidence that we shall likewise ascend to glory when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. Lift our eyes heavenward to see beyond mortal sight our Savior, who always lives to make intercession for us. Grant to your people hope and confidence in the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Give strength and boldness to us who are baptized with the Holy Spirit to witness to the saving grace of Jesus at home and abroad, to all those who are in need of his life and light. Prosper the kingdom of our Lord Jesus in every country, turning the hearts of people in those nations everywhere from sin, pride, and unbelief to your great grace by faith in him. Be the protector and the guide of our own nation in righteousness and peace. Let our rulers be guided according to your will for the blessing of our country. Give to all of our schools a spirit of wisdom that is in accord with your word. Bless all institutions of mercy and uphold and further all good works. Deliver us from those who would do violence to the innocent, and spare us from greed, rebellion, terrorism, and lawlessness. We pray for your mercy on all who are in any way afflicted. We ask especially for your gracious help for the sick. Give them the confidence that whatever they ask in accordance with your will, you will surely provide. And now, dear Lord, since this same Jesus who was taken into heaven will come back in the same way he ascended, let our hearts rise heavenward in childlike faith, gratitude, and love. Help us always to look for his appearing again to receive us to himself so that we are well prepared in watchfulness and prayer for his return. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, the name which is above every name. Amen. We also pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.